You just tuned in to Set for Success with your host, Richard Lannan, but you knew that already. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to continue our journey to help people create a roadmap to change their business, their career, their lives. And we're going to do this through chatting with one person at a time to uncover people's lives, their business, their journey, their successes, and the people they help out along the way. We want to do this to help you create a roadmap or to create the success that you deserve, and you do deserve to be successful. You know, I always like to say this at the beginning of every show. I'd like you to say to yourself right now, I deserve to be successful. Heck, even turn that around. I am successful. Say that to yourself right now. It's important. Every show starts off with a Set for Success quote, and here's our quote for today. I can say without a shadow of a doubt that I am an extremely fortunate person to have worked in the trade show industry and to wake up every day excited about the job that I do. The number one thing or reason I love the trade show industry by far is the people. This industry is such amazing people working in it, many of whom I am lucky enough to call good friends. Now, that is a quote from Rachel Wimberly. And Rachel Wimberly is the Trade Show News Network. I believe she is actually the president of TARDIS Media and is involved in the Trade Show News Network. Quite the person, actually. You should go read up on her life. I'm very proud of the fact that a lot of the companies I work with are what I call T-shirt and blue jean companies. Often telecommunications, explosives, trucking, heavy equipment, temporary buildings, roads, you name it. I've managed to touch on industries from all facets, but I always like to refer to them as T-shirt and blue jean companies. They usually provide services to larger organizations and projects, but the best part is they started with an idea, a product or a service out of a garage or a warehouse somewhere and built a company where people want to work. The stories they tell of the journey their company has taken to become a Canadian success story, well, quite frankly, are awesome. I love just sitting down and listening to these stories. Some of my favorite stories are the preparations of the industry in industry events, also known as trade show industry. A smile comes over their face when they say, we're headed to Vegas. We're headed to Vegas, baby, and we're bringing a $500,000 piece of equipment with us. Yes, I've actually worked with some people that have brought, you know, equipment worth over $500,000+ down to Vegas. Through showing their wares and getting out and talking to people in their business community, as Canadians and as Westerners, as Manitobans, we should be proud of these companies. They participate in the trade show industry. They are part of their plan to grow and expand their business, something that is good for all of us. The trade show is one outlet to help them become set for success. So here's what we're going to do today. As I gave the show some thought, I wonder who could come in and hang out with me and talk about the trade show industry. Somebody who is Canadian, who is, from what I know, Manitoba grown. We're about to find that out. And I'm pleased to have Anders, the CEO of Infotainers and the trade show expert with me today. It is Infotainers, right?
The Infotainers, did I get it right? That's right.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's so easy when you take a word, you're doing a play with
words,
right?
We're making it up.
Yeah, because it's so easy to say entertainers when it's Infotainers, right?
Yeah.
Anders, why don't we just start with sort of just getting a little bit about your background and stuff. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am from Manitoba, born and raised in Wauwanisa, Manitoba.
Where is that located?
It's southwest of Brandon.
So, okay.
It's a little insurance town. It's where the insurance company comes from. Right?
I was thinking, you know, is that where the insurance town? I don't have enough information in that town,
that's
so
right.
I'll have to go and check it out.
So I started in magic when I was about 5 years old. I was a magician for many years, doing birthday parties, and then started doing other types of events and fairs and festivals, and then started doing corporate events, started, you know, building up, and then I started doing the odd trade show here and there for a lot of agricultural companies, that sort of thing. I got trained in 2007 by a man named Joel Bauer, who was like the best who ever lived at trade show magic, which is a thing. And
okay.
So what happened was I kind of revamped how I did it, changed a lot of it, and learned to do it at such a deeper level that I really fell in love with this idea of communicating a message through, well, this is a big fancy word, transformation mechanism, which is the magic, which
is
the demonstration that's intrinsically interesting that we do. And so that's where the Infotainers came from, is that idea that the information is conveyed in an entertaining way. And it's the spoonful of sugar that helps the medicine go down.
Oh, sounds like good lines. Yeah. Good lines. When you're telling your story a little bit about starting off, I mean, 5 years old, doing magic tricks and everything. I mean, that's just so awesome. And then on up from there. I gather when you started your company, and this is something I'm sort of always interested in with businesses, is like, where did you start? Did you start by hiding out in your basement or a garage somewhere or in your apartment? Like where was the real starting point for what you're doing today? And then we'll get into what you're actually doing today.
I mean, back then, I mean, when I was probably 12 or 13, I got from my first business card, right?
And this
was
like 12 or 13, that's a big deal.
I mean, I'd hand it to girls, like, hey, here's my card. You know, and it was amazing. I would get bookings from, you know, well, far off, you know, like Hamiota or something, right? Like from when he said, like, how did you find me? Oh, someone gave me your card. And, you know, it's just so just the business card was my first introduction to promotion, to marketing, to that kind of piece.
All right.
Right.
So that's sort of when you started business wise.
Yeah. And then, I mean, then, you know, got older, university, finally got a website, you know, all this kind of stuff started happening. And then so business was kind of starting to flow and you'd get return clients and that sort of thing.
I know. I read an interesting fact about you just recently. I didn't know this about you, but you have a degree in physics.
I do.
How does physics and magic go together?
Well, they didn't really. You know,
they didn't really.
I mean, you could say, you know, I had to understand the laws of physics before I defied them, but that's not
That's what I was, I read that, I started laughing because that's what I was thinking.
That was my please the parents degree.
That was your please the parents degree?
So that I wasn't running away to the circus.
Okay.
So,
All right. So I hope you don't mind me throwing that in.
No, that's fine.
I wanted to hear the story around that.
Yeah.
The other piece of that story, though, is that you paid your own way through university. Did you do it with magic or did you do it with, like,
no,
you know,
just magic.
Being a waiter or something?
Yeah, no, magic was a great job, you know, early on because, you know, you could go off and work for 45 minutes doing a show and earn what a lot of people would spend a week or two making, right? So it was kind of like, you know, and it was my passion. So it was a great way to kind of make, you know, little sums of money here and there, right? And try to do that. And the nice thing about university, I had my best friend was, we were all in the same classes. So if I had to skip class to go do a gig, I'll be like, you know, take my notes.
Yeah, take really good notes
right.
Because I got to go make a living right now.
That's
absolutely awesome. Tell us a little bit more about your present company, Infotainers.
Sure. Yeah. So the Infotainers was kind of born out of the fact that I was at these trade shows performing and presenting material that talks about the client that hired me, right? So we build a crowd of people around the booth, convey that message, and then we get those badges scanned so that way we acquire leads. So that's what happens.
So maybe what we'll do, we'll come back and you'll tell us a bit more about Infotainers, and then we'll talk about how you actually do that to acquire leads for other companies, your clients. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Everyone, welcome back. I'm hanging out with Anders from Infotainers. You know what, Anders, I didn't say your last name. It is Boulanger, isn't
it? That's right.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I got the Anders Boulanger. If I got the pronunciation a little off, just tweak it for
me.
It's
all good.
My wife fixes me my pronunciation of words all the time. It's just one of those things. We were talking about your company, and we were talking a little bit about, really two parts. We're talking about the growth curve of your company, what you got into, but then you also started to come into a little bit about trade shows and that.
So I was just, you know, when we last talked about, you know, what we do at trade shows is building these crowds. People want to have, you know, eyes on their booth, eyes on their solution, that kind of thing. So we build that crowd of people and we communicate the message. And then we also do qualifying. There's kind of a call to action to it. So we're almost a little bit like motivational speakers in a sense, because we're actually motivating people to actually take action. So we'll get hand raises and get people saying, I have the qualifying criteria that the company's looking for, and we'll pull them into the booth so they can have a deeper and richer experience with the brand, whether it's a talk with a subject matter expert, salesperson, et cetera. So that's kind of how we kind of further the top of the funnel salespeople piece.
So you're almost like the front line salespeople with more of an entertainment edge, where you just sort of qualify and pull them in, and then the real sales experts take over.
That's right. We know the messaging at a high level, and then some supporting pieces below that so that we sound like we're an extension of the company.
Yeah.
And then, but we're able to engage large groups of people. And then within the, you know, it's kind of finding the needles in the haystack. And it depends if it's a horizontal or vertical show. Some companies, everybody's qualified and it's, you know, great. So the more people we bring.
So let's explain that. What's the difference between a horizontal versus a vertical show?
So a horizontal show would be if you, let's say, make tires and you sell tires and you go to a car show, then that is one of the things car people need is tires, right? So if you go, if you sell tires and you go to a tire show, that's a vertical show. So that's like a very, you know, that's a very tight market for you. Everyone there is wanting to buy tires.
Yeah. That would be so it's like 1 inch wide and a mile deep is vertical, and then and then horizontal would be the inch deep and a mile wide type thing.
Exactly.
So I'm assuming with your analogy or your example here, the vertical one would be situations where if everybody's there selling tires and you're really the only people are going to be interested in being there are people who want to buy tires.
Well, it's a very qualified group of people. And so what we found, though, is over the years of me doing this was that we would get all these leads and interested parties doing wanting to do what we did, and I needed more and more people to fulfill these contracts. So we have certified infotainers, which are people we train to do what it is that I do. And many of them are my colleagues that trained with me originally. And so we use them with different clients. We just got back from VMworld and we had 5 clients at one show. So it was nice to be able to, service that many people and create an impact and create lead generation for these clients.
And I think that goes back to the heart of what we started talking about originally was tell us about infotainers and really you're sort of starting off in one place, right? That particular company, but now expanding and growing that company. Tell us about the sort of growth curve that you've gone through.
So I think we quintupled in 5 years. So
quintupled in 5 years, great word.
So we've been growing, and it is based on the fact that every time we get out there, more people can see us, and the more clients we're serving, the more people see us, and there is organic growth. But then, of course, we've done some initiatives where we've tried to pour gas on the fire in terms of that kind of growth, and meaning paying money for the marketing, the sales, and that sort of thing, so that we can amplify the sales that
the growth, and so
with that we've been growing and we've been hiring on and trying to. I was a one man show for many years, other than my contracted certified infotainers, and so now then we hired kind of a director of operations and a marketing person, and we're trying to pull those things off of me so that we can run more pure
of a company.
Exactly.
We often refer to that as one way of saying it is you're scaling up, right?
Yep.
You're actually starting to scale your company a bit, and you're creating more Anders.
That's right. That's what, yeah, right? The duplication
of
that
right?
piece.
Because it is a service that you offer.
Yeah.
Because when you look at what you create, right, I often have these conversations with clients is that, do you create a product or you create a service, right? Yeah. And then how do you productize your service, right?
And
the intangible.
Yeah, that's one of the things we started doing with some of the trainings that we had. We actually made them online trainings so that we have a company right now just recently bought a bunch of seats from us that is a trade show training, online training. We call Trade Secrets Exhibitor Training online.
Okay.
And so it's, this affordable, easily consumable product that you can do on your phone while you're waiting to fly to the show. And you're just refreshing yourself on these booth best practices and the fundamental 5 and these things that we teach. And that's one of the, if you're listening right now and you're going to do a trade show, do take a look and just search online or whatever about what you should and should not do, because it is so common sense, some of the things that you shouldn't do in a trade show. And I see them all the time. And one of the fun things I do is I'm always taking pictures of people, sleeping in booths and different things, to kind of put in my slideshows when I do a training. But yeah, that's one of the things that companies can really do is if you have effective booth staff, that is the number one thing you can do to improve your results. And it's usually the last thing companies will spend money on.
Oh, really?
So it's, yeah. And in fact, only 79% of companies have ever, 79% of companies haven't formally trained their booth staff.
Okay.
And
so they just sort of take the people that work in the field, let's go to a trade show.
Let's go, and they'll go, okay, we're going to do this. And then only the top 2% of companies have ever actually trained their booth staff with an outside trainer. So,
okay. So that's an area that could be for improvements for companies that do a lot of trade shows.
Yeah.
Because I can imagine that, I mean, the bigger trade shows must be very expensive for clients to do.
Oh, yeah. It's just the concrete alone, just for the booth space.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to a show in December where a 15-foot by 10-foot booth, which is kind of like an in-between size, usually it's 10 by 10s, 10 by 20s, that is $90,000 sponsorship.
For the weekend or the week?
For 4 days.
For 4 days.
Plus, you got to bring your booth, plus you got to bring your people and all that other stuff. And so that's a pretty high per square foot charges.
Per square foot charges. Yeah. So maybe what we can do, when we'll take a short break, but when we come back, Anders, you can maybe provide some differences between Canada versus U.S. trade shows and what's happening in the trade show industry. How's
sure.
that sound?
Sounds good.
We'll be right back with Set for Success. Everyone, welcome back. I'm hanging out with Anders Belanger, and we've been talking a bit about his company and about trade shows. He's a trade show expert, and I always find trade shows very interesting. I'm one of these people that have a really like for trade shows, but a really dislike for trade shows at the same time. It's a weird sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
But we were talking a little bit about in the last section about some of the other things that you actually see happening in trade show environments and what the distinctions are between Canada and the U.S.
Well, and so it's interesting for me because being a Canadian, but then working in the States all the time, 99% of our business is American based. And so one of the things that I discovered years ago was that, before I had a work visa to work in the States, I was always trying to get hired by Canadian companies that were doing shows in the U.S. because that was legal and cool and that was fine. But Canadian companies, and it's a little bit of our culture of our sense of modesty that prevents us from really putting ourselves out there and going for it. And so what we find in the U.S., and it's one of the things that, sometimes we dislike maybe about Americans is that me, look at us, this kind of thing, right? And so, but the thing is at a trade show, you want all the eyes on you. You want everyone looking at your booth, giving you attention. And so Canadian companies, and if you're listening right now and you have a company doing a trade show, that would, you have to kind of get over that piece and shamelessly promote yourself at the show because you know what? Other companies are going to be doing that.
They're going to do,
And if you're in the U.S. and you're competing against U.S. companies, you better, leave it all out on the floor in terms of going for it because that's what you're up against and you're not going to stand out and of the sea of booths and in all that noise, you're just not going to make it.
There's a lot of distractions that actually happen in trade shows. And I think that's what I was mentioning before, sort of a like-dislike, right? I like going to trade shows and especially, of course, trade shows that I'm interested in the products or the service and those kind of things. But I also have the dislike too where you're at a trade show and you're being approached by people, come talk to us in our booth about this and about that and those kind of things. Just let me sort of look around and do my own thing.
Right.
And,
there's always kind of people interrupting your day, trying to get you to come into the booth. And I mean, I'm one of those people, right?
Sure.
Well, part of that attitude though, is people will kind of go, no, I don't want to bug me. Don't bug me. But what we do when we do our message engineering, when we do our presentations, we take advantage of the brain science of we want to spike the dopamine, right? The sense of reward, the sense of something good to come. And so if it's not, hey, come here. It's
more
like,
yeah.
You may want to check out what I'm about to do. And then this whole kind of thing where we roll into the presentation because now it's more mysterious and people want to see what's happening. As soon as you get a crowd of people, the crowd builds out in a, exponential manner, right? Nothing stops a crowd like a crowd. That's what P.T. Barnum said.
Yeah.
And so that's what we do. And that's that kind of, how we use the messaging and how we put in elements of persuasion and different pieces of NLP and gamification. And we build those presentations so that people want to be a part of them and they'll stick around and we can hold their attention for long periods of time. Because it is distracting. It is loud. It's crazy loud. And so you got to do what you can to rise above the noise. And when we say that, we literally will stand on 2-foot stages because he who is highest will be seen.
Yeah.
And he who is loudest will be heard.
Yeah.
So we use sound systems and do everything we can to get our clients' message out there and build those crowds.
That, you know, that's really cool because you just gave me the vision of you actually standing, carrying a little 2-foot stage, putting it down in the middle of a crowd. And I don't know if that's how you do it or not.
Well,
but
the stage is already there.
So the stage is already there. But you know, I have at trade shows watched people do that periodically where I guess the booth or whatever they're working for is one piece, but then they have this little stage they literally put in whatever they have, and then they just go for it, right? And they build their crowd.
And it's really about creating this engagement, you know, right there at the show. And what we see, because we work primarily in the technology, verticals, is that with the talk of AI, artificial intelligence, machine learning, all this, there's so much reliance on technology. And because people are all knowledgeable about it, that curse of knowledge kind of kicks in. They know too much, and they kind of start disconnecting with people. And even with the millennials coming into the workforce that are digital native, what we're finding more and more is that people are losing those soft skills needed to actually have human interactions. Powerful face-to-face interactions.
Yeah.
And so as the Infotainers kind of evolves, our company, we are rolling out more and more engagement tactics, engagement strategies, and trainings so that companies can really make use of that, the face-to-face interactions that are available to us at trade shows, and not the heavy reliance on technology. Video or the kiosk or the thing that people think if they will have a video playing, it will stop people.
And they'll look at it. But if you think about it, if you walk into a room with a dozen televisions going, you're psychologically, after a while, your mind will just sort of blank it all out.
Yeah.
If you were to quiz people, this is my thoughts on this. If you were to quiz people at the end, what did they just observe? They would not be able to tell you the specifics.
No.
Right? They would not.
Well, and brain science tells us too that the number one powerful visual is a 3D object moving through space, and that most powerful 3D object moving through space is a human's face.
There's nothing we find
more interesting. So that whole idea of interacting with another person is so powerful that, you know, you got to harness that when you have the chance, and trade shows are all about face-to-face
and trying to get it in place and everything. You mentioned that you work in the technology verticals more. Could you describe that a bit more to us?
Yeah. So, I mean, we work with companies on the virtualization side of things, which some people are like, what the heck's that?
Virtualization. You got to use words. You got to explain.
Cloud, which is, of course, a buzzword out there. Cybersecurity. So we do shows for that. So that's all about, preventing cyber threats and attacks and that sort of thing. And then we do a little bit in industrial and operations and electrical distribution and that sort of thing. But primarily it is usually...
It's the technology.
Yeah,
the technology world is big time trade show world too, right?
And especially software companies, they don't have a lot of hard costs, right? You're duplicating software, so they have large margins to be able to pour it into marketing. So that's a good fit.
And
for
it's all
us
online
too.
Now too.
Yeah, that's right.
So there you go. That's fascinating. So it's such a reversal because I actually built my career in the background at the back of the technology industry, and now most of my clients are more industrial and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, but I take that knowledge and spread it over and the other side because the commonality, right? The transfer of knowledge or capabilities is pretty significant when you're talking about business. And I would think that would also be the case in the trade show industry too, whether you're doing something with a technology company or you're doing something with a heavy equipment company, that crossover must be quite ability to do
for
that.
For us, we say, as long as there's humans in the room, this will work, right? And it's because of how things are structured. We change what we're talking about. We change the content.
Yes.
But people still want to be a part of something. We create an event in your booth on the hour, every hour, that people want to be a part of, right? And so that's kind of the thing, is that people flock to that.
I'm curious, is there like a go-to routine that people sort of ask you to do? I mean, I think I sort of know the answer even when I'm asking the question. But
yeah, well, I mean, one of the things that I'm known for is at the end of every show, I give someone a chance to win $2,000 US.
Wow.
So we have different games that we play.
Yeah.
And I do lose on occasion.
Okay.
But I don't lose enough that it would make sense to stop doing it. It's kind of self-insured in that sense. But what happens is because of that promise of a payoff.
Yeah, $2,000's a lot of money.
People people will stick around. They want to be a part of it. It creates excitement. We've gamified the presentation. And so that's kind of one of the things that is definitely one of my signatures, and people want to see what happens. They need closure. And that's another, you know, brain science kind of thing is you open a loop. This is an NLP term, but
open a loop.
People want to, it's like you're starting a story and you don't know the end. And so people need to see the closure, need to see the end. And this is what keeps them there. And the longer we keep people there, the more people we can put there because they see those people.
See those people. I think what we'll do is we'll take a short break. When we come back, I think we've got to explain a few terms, right?
Sorry.
We just want to make sure. And then I think we'll talk also about what's next for your organization. All right. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, all. Anders, awesome chatting with you today, you know, on Set for Success. And we were talking a bit about different terms. And I said, actually, just before the break, we should explain a few words, but then we should also talk a little bit about, you know, what's next and what's happening, right? Mm-hmm. So first of all, you use the word gamification.
Yeah.
I love the word gamification, but go
it
give us the
like
short...
It sounds like a real made-up word, too. Yeah. Gamification is the idea of, and you're going to see this, you know, online in a lot of places, too.
Sure.
But, right, it's the idea that they've made a game out of whether it's shopping, loyalty points, you know, different things that make you want to win, right? And
yeah.
So it's just harnessing that idea that you want to win, you want to play, which increases the engagement with
whatever. Well, sure. And, you know, we can even say like air miles points in essence is a gamification, right? Every time you shop, you get X number of miles and stuff like this. And the reward is cashing them in and going for a trip or buying yourself a product. So that kind of concept.
Yeah, and
it creates
a behavior that you want.
Yeah.
And so used intentionally in that sense in your businesses. So,
and away you go.
Yeah.
The other one you mentioned is NLP. So just shortly, I know that's a big topic.
It is
right?
a big topic. So it's neuro-linguistic programming. Some people have called it the study of excellence. One of the things that I often say is that, you know, Tony Robbins and the stuff that he came out of that side of things.
NLP.
And so it was created by John Grinder and Richard Bandler back in the 70s. And so read into it, but there's some fascinating stuff that can be done through different patterns and language patterns and different techniques. So
And the idea, part of the idea is that if you understand your patterns, you have a choice of being able to change your patterns.
Yes.
You know, and there's all sorts of techniques too. I've used NLP. I was introduced to it maybe 20 years ago or so, or maybe even longer now. I think about where I come from. So I mean, that's why I sort of wanted to say, we're talking about neuro-linguistic programming, lots that you can look up on that online.
Fascinating stuff.
Just like gamification. I loved reading about gamification too. So what's next? Where are you guys going? What are you doing?
So we're going to be... we're going to be going into other verticals. We've kind of, tech has been kind of our mainstay and we've been focused on
foundational.
That. Foundational. Yeah, very foundational. And then we've found that we're kind of, you know, getting, it's getting a little bit more saturated because we're having multiple clients at these shows. And so to make it kind of go to some fresh ground, you know, some green pasture kind of verticals where they've never seen anything like this. And so to be able to take all the learnings and take all the stuff that we use and move over, and you know, some lucky companies are going to get blown away by what we're able to bring to them. So
I am going to ask: have you identified any specific verticals that you're interested in right now, or you're still sort of mulling it over?
Well, we're going to—I mean, we're actually headed down to a water show in Chicago next week. The week after.
Yeah, okay.
And so that's something more kind of industrial, kind of, you know, in that sense. We do want to get into healthcare a little bit more too.
Right.
So that's just kind of maybe a little bit more recession-proof of a vertical. So we're looking at doing that, adding more people to the team. We are having to, you know, we're recruiting and training more certified infotainers so that we can have a greater capacity, a greater inventory to be able to supply our clients. So, yeah.
So then the question I have for you on that one is you said you're looking to bring in more infotainers. It's easier to make the slip, right? Infotainers into your organization. What do you look for? Well, because it's a very... relationship engagement rich type thing. So
it's not easy.
It's not exactly.
No.
That was my point, right?
Yeah.
Because really, you're the product and the service, right? So
you
have to have the right people.
So, I mean, we kind of have a system in place to you know, get them to the place where we need, but we are looking for raw material in the sense that I need someone who I know is a good performer, for one. They have a good aesthetic. They have a good look. They look professional. They carry themselves well. And then the last part is they can actually do the messaging, because some guys can entertain, but they have trouble with bringing in content.
Yeah.
We do help them with that. And so just this past February, we actually had our first kind of certified infotainer summit, where I handpicked performers from all over the U.S. and Canada, and they came to Vegas, and I trained them for a day. And they kind of auditioned at the same time. So they were given content to integrate into a presentation, and we all got to watch them do that. And then I got a sense of who could do what. And so that allowed me to kind of see what I was working with and sort of kind of build out our stable of infotainers.
What a brilliant idea, though, right? To actually create an infotainer summit.
It's not as many people as it sounds. Yeah, the way I was making
I know,
it sound.
But you know what? It's a smart move, right? It's one of those things in business that, and I want to compliment you on that, because it's one of those things in business that you can choose to do. A lot of people probably don't step out to do that, create their own sort of conference,
develop your own human resources, right?
Yeah. And develop your own people and everything. When you talk about acts, the types of entertainment that these infotainers to be, right, can do, because I know you're a magician.
Yeah.
But does it vary? Like tell me
some of them are mentalists, which is kind of like mental magic, so it's very similar.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where I came from. We are actually considering, we actually had a client saying, oh, we noticed there's no female infotainers on your site. And partly it's because there are very, very few female magicians, which is a thing too, right?
Well, that's
unfortunate. It is changing, though. And there are some really great female magicians coming up. But we're looking at possibly adding some people that have more presentation skills, but again, maybe not as much on the entertainment side skills, but are very strong presenters, and there are a lot of females out there like that. So we may look to expand our offering in that sense.
This leads me to my other question. See, now you've got my interest, because I'm fascinated, because I used to be one of the big five consulting firms one time. We knew that if we hired somebody with the people skills, we could generally teach them the technical skills. If we hired somebody with the technical skills, we could generally not teach them the people skills. And I'm just wondering if it's sort of the same thing, because if you got the presentation skills, we'll call that the people skills, right?
Sure.
The engagement skills. But then can you teach them the technical skills, and what might that look like?
I believe you can. I think I'm trying to cheat in some ways and just finding them with both of them already.
It'd be awesome, right?
Kind of the system that we've used that work really well.
Yeah.
And so that they're in alignment with how we operate. So that when a company hires one of us, they can hire another one of us, and it's a very similar experience. So that's where we are. So, but I do agree with that premise that you just mentioned. But again, like I said, I'm trying to cut the corners a little bit and find people who I know are already good at both, and then find them.
Because it sounded to me like it's almost like a three-legged stool, in the sense that you have to have the entertainment skills, and in this case here, the presentation skills, but then you also have to have the look. Like it's that sort of, there's that three pieces in there, right?
Sure. And it's the professionalism, and that's one of our core values at the Infotainers. And this is one of those things we talked about, just, you know, evolving over time, was that, you know, we, at one point when it was still just me, you know, deciding what the core values were, and it's like, well, I mean, I know. but to actually have them out, and now as we have staff join and other infotainers, to understand what we're all about, and it does help with that culture and helps with that, you know, promoting. You know.
I think it'd be fascinating. Like, I know that you're a magician, but as a musician, I'd be interested to know what a musician could do with that, right? And so you just have my interest tweaked, right?
I did see this at a trade show booth last year. Was a booth that was handing out headphones, wireless headphones to everyone, and people putting headphones on. There was a four-piece electric string quartet playing, but you could only hear them when they handed out the headphones.
Yeah.
Now, the VP of marketing wanted to know my opinion on this, so I sent him an email afterwards, and part of the problem with that was it wasn't making any noise, so you could easily walk right by it in this case. Okay. Yeah. Now, music does make noise typically, but because it lacks the visual piece to it, it doesn't hit on all the senses like what you could do when we're performing magic. If you are
a one-man band, so to speak, you ever see those guys? And if you could somehow incorporate that, a one-man band, people stop. Yeah. Right? You know, and I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out.
It's and there are I've seen all kinds of things at trade shows. Yeah. I've seen, you know, people with skateboard half pipes, bicycle, you know, powered merry-go-round kind of thing. Like all kinds of crazy things. There's things that work and the things that don't. And
maybe maybe people should chat with you about that. Anders, if some you great guest, awesome. Like hanging out with you is always a lot of fun. Somebody want to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
They can go to the website, theinfotainers.com.
Theinfotainers.com.
Yeah.
Right on. I want to take this opportunity to thank you for hanging out with me today. Right. Awesome. Awesome guest. To our listeners, hey, I'm always grateful for when you tune in. And now, if you have any thoughts, ideas, or anything about the show, send me a note, richard@setforsuccess.ca. And I want you to remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.